I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another edition of Supercoach Edge and, of course, another edition of Damo's Team Talk. This time, we're coming out of round 8. A very interesting round for many, some for most people, I'd probably say, for bad reasons, just not faring well with the likes of a Tom Green getting injured early on, and they scored a 5. You know, there's other guys that were you know, starting subs like Fife as well. Yo, of course, going down, and then those people as well that ended up doing well were the ones, in all likelihood, that were owners of Luke Ryan. Who else was there? Nailing their captaincy. Forgot about Rosie as well, who, of course, put out a late played stupidly despite doing his hamstring the round prior. So, there's a whole load of, I guess, variables as to what dictated whether or not you played an okay round or a shit round. Yeah, I was kind of a little bit from column A and a little bit from column B. But before we jump into our team, of course, if you haven't subscribed to our channel yet here on YouTube, make sure you do so, and we'll give you a couple of thumbs up, and we'll give you a shout out, of course, in the comments section. And, you know, any support that you can give us is absolutely fantastic. Likewise as well, if you're tuning into us via audio podcast, and I know there's quite a few people that do, if you can give us a rating on, if you're listening to us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts as well, that would be absolutely fantastic. As I always say, I'll give you two kisses on the cheek. As to which cheeks, that's up to you. But here we go. Let's jump into how we fared ranking-wise. So ended up scoring a 2,221. I think at the start of the round, I was projected for something ridiculous. I think it was like 23. It was like high 2,300s. And then, of course, with Tom Green going down early and a few other variables being thrown into the mix, cats amongst the pigeons, as it turned out, projected score ended up falling ever so gradually across the round. So as you can see, they actually turned out not too bad, because I ended up going up in rank for the first time in 2-3 weeks. I've had a little bit of a fall over the past couple of weeks. I think 2 weeks ago I fell around about, I think it was 2,000 ranks or thereabouts. And then I ended up kind of was a bit of a plateau last week. I think I ended up losing about 400 ranks or something like that. But I am back to virtually near where I was 3 weeks ago. So not too bad there. So I am ranked 2,938 overall. Went up 1,485 spots. So not too bad considering the carnage that a lot of other people did experience. So I am very, very fortunate. But I wasn't spared all of it, so I'll get into that in a moment. But as you can see here on screen, if you're watching us on YouTube, my team value is at a very juicy 13,000,000. 45,000. So not too bad. 45,700. So yeah, not too bad considering that. It's kind of in line with what I'm looking to do strategy-wise across the course of the season, especially in the early parts of the season. And that's building bank and building the team value, because that kind of dictates as to, you know, obviously how you're tracking in terms of primos in your team, but also as well the cash cows that you're able to jump on. And, you know, it kind of indicates whether or not you jumped on the right cash cows and if they've made you enough money to obviously help upgrade your team. So with that, let's jump into my team and have a look at it in a little bit closer detail. So as you can see here, I ended up not too bad. So Dacos, he was kind of the shining light across my team. Ended up scoring the 150 there, back to, you know, I guess top form, as we know and love with Wispy Dacos. So yeah, it was good to see. Not so much against my mob in Carlton, of course, helped, I guess, win the game for them, kicked the match winner. And I think obviously that match winning goal as well helped scaling points-wise for him, and hence the reason why he scored so well. So that was good to see. But next to him, Harry Sheasel, and we kind of forecasted this in the podcast episode, Liam and I, last week, where we spoke of how Sheasel ended up getting a little bit of a taste of CBAs, and there was a potential there for, I guess, you know, him getting more CBAs off the back of that. There were random CBAs last week given to Paul Curtis at North Melbourne and a few other guys as well. So it was obvious that Clarko was kind of experimenting with things. And we all know that Clarko in recent times has said that, you know, he's looking to potentially or progressively shift Sheasel into the engine room. So as we saw on the weekend, I'll just flick across here to DFS Australia and show you the breakdown in CBAs for North Melbourne. And it's a little bit alarming here. So last week, Sheasel got 14% CBAs, and on the weekend had 45% CBAs, which, believe it or not, that was only 7% below what Tom Powell was given on the weekend. Of course, Tom Powell's CBAs went up off the back of Will Phillips being omitted, as we all expected, but Tom Powell didn't have the, you know, high to mid 70% CBAs that he's had in previous weeks. So that in itself is a bit of an alarm as well. But outside of that, again, you know, there's other random CBAs thrown in the mix as well. So a little bit of a worry there with regards to Sheasel. But yeah, we'll just have to sort of, you know, monitor that. And if it does come to a stage where it looks as though his role, you know, the pig role that he has, the seagull role off halfback, is no longer there, we might have to reassess things and potentially look to move him on. But at this stage, I wouldn't be too hasty in doing that, because we all know what happened to McKercher. McKercher was given some CBAs, you know, prior to getting injured, and then came back. And since then, he's, you know, I guess, relished and reclaimed that halfback role and scoring quite well. So we don't want to be too hasty with that. So don't trade out Sheasel as yet, because I imagine there's quite a few other issues that you need to deal with before Sheasel. As I always say, like even Wanganui Miller, who I speak of very shortly in my team, he's been someone that hasn't been performing to expectations and probably will in all likelihood be a luxury upgrade. But I say luxury because he isn't first and foremost, you know, an immediate issue for me. So Sheasel does fit into that category as well to some extent at the time being. But I mean, we've only had a couple of, you know, down games, I guess, by his standards, but especially on the weekend. So just one to monitor there. Nick Martin, 122, just as I always say, going from strength to strength, now has solidified his spot in the, I think, top six now in defense. If I just have a quick look here, if I can find it. Yes, he is bang on in the sixth spot, highest scoring defender. So yeah, he is now someone that you want to jump on. He always has been, you know, from round three onwards, virtually, when he's turned around his form. He started very slowly, as we know, but yeah, if you're able to get him in, I'd be prioritizing getting him in amongst others as well. But Tom Stewart, 104, back to thereabouts, hasn't really shown or flashed his big ceiling consistently enough as yet. Highest score he's had to date is 134, which is way back in round two. We know that he's battled with injury. He got concussed in round six, had the week off last week, and then round eight came back. So not too bad considering that, because normally when a player is concussed, they come back and kind of struggle. So 104 on him for him on return, not too bad. But what it does mean for those non-owners is you're going to pick him up for a nice little discount. So he has actually dropped from his starting price of 635.3K down to 523.4K. So he's dropped over $111,900. So yeah, you'd want to jump on him if you can, but there's quite a few guys in recent weeks that have kind of tapered off in their form. And likewise as well due to injury, as we saw with Stuart here a couple of weeks ago, due to concussion. So yeah, if you are looking for a defender, and I'm always, you know, I guess promoting in terms of jumping on those primos or those fallen primos first and foremost, because that's where you're going to get your money savings, and that's what's going to, I guess, get to a point where all the cash that you've saved by going for these discounted primos will come in handy for you then to reach up to those big primos, like a Merritt or a Sarong, or, you know, so on and so forth, or a Ryan as well, who we know went absolutely bananas on the weekend. So yeah, he is one I would be targeting. Spoke of Wanganui Miller ever so briefly just before, but he ended up actually scoring a 115, which is the biggest score he's had in quite a while. Yeah, he was watching the game, and I think he had around about 70-odd or thereabouts at halftime, and he always has a bit of a knack for not going on with it in quarter three and quarter four. So for the first time in a while, he actually kept going, which is good to see. But again, isn't really showing the big ceiling that I was hoping that he would be able to produce. And likewise as well, the high floor isn't really there. He's had a couple of games in the 90s, a game in 82, and a game in this dinner for 269, which is against the Dogs in round six. So a 115 is his second high score for the season, and hopefully he can continue on with that. Obviously faces Hawthorn as well in this upcoming round nine clash. So yeah, hopefully he can continue his form. Now, Matt Roberts with a 50, I kind of stuffed myself up here. So for those of you watching here on YouTube, I'll be able to, I guess, show you a bit easier as to what I was originally planning to do. So I was able to loop Williams first up, considering they played the Pies first. He only scored a 60, and obviously had Zach Reed as well as a bit of a loop if I wanted to loop on Williams a score, if he scored well enough. So he didn't. So what I did there was kept, obviously, Williams on the bench. And with Roberts, I had an opportunity here for a couple of, I guess, options. I could have kept Roberts in the midfield, which is probably what I should have done, and put the emergency on Roberts. He only scored a 50, and what I would have done there, if Roberts was on the bench, I would have used McAuliffe as the non-playing player to loop on his score if he scored well, but in this case, he didn't. So what I would have done is kept Roberts on the bench and in all likelihood have played a Will Graham. In this case here, it's not too bad. I've only missed out on an extra 9 points, considering Graham scored a 59 compared to Roberts' 50, but once I noticed that it happened, I was at a housewarming. Actually, it was Liam's housewarming on the weekend. I should have adjusted and put the emergency on Jai Clark. And you're probably thinking, why would you put the emergency on Jai Clark, considering he hasn't really scored well? He's been, you know, perennial sub over the past few weeks. But if you look at my team here, there's no benefit in me having the emergency on Graham on the bench, considering I was playing Closey on field. So what I should have done is put the emergency on Jai Clark. As it turned out, Clark ended up scoring a 78, which is above and beyond. I'm just happy the fact that he's actually going to make some cash for us now, and I kept him. But what I could have done there is, if I put the emergency on Jai Clark, I would have then been super happy to lock in that score. So I would have put McAuliffe on field and looped on Clark's 78. But as it turned out, didn't do that. And I had to swallow Closey's score of 43, who I played in that spot. So hopefully that makes sense if you're tuning in to the podcast, but jump across to YouTube and you can see what I am referring to. Outside of that, obviously, Zach Williams as well. He scored a 60, went off with an issue. I think it was with a bit of a glute issue. I don't know whether or not it's a strain, cork, or whatever at this stage, but I am assuming that he's had a few niggles across the preseason and, you know, probably should have traded him last week, opted to hold on, but he's only lost around about 9K off that score of 60. So he's still priced at 325.6K. He's gone up 109.5K. So he has made us enough bank that we were hoping to for him to make. So he will be in the gun this week for me to trade him out and cash him in. And Matt Roberts as well with a 50. He actually had a really low break even, has gone up in price to the tune of 6.4K and has made us 259.2K. But what it does mean with this low score in his cycle now for the next 2 weeks, it does mean that his break even has shot up to 107. So if you can, I would be looking to move him on and use him as a bit of a springboard, considering his high price point of a 416K, and I guess, you know, springboard to a genuine keeper. So that's what I'll be looking to do, bit of a sneak preview of the trades that I'm going to be doing. But let's quickly move into the midfield now. So Sarong, 137. He was my, captaincy backup after Merritt. So Sarong, 137, as it turned out, would have been a nice captaincy option. But just happy enough that I've got him in my team and he's turning his form around. Whereas first up when I got him in my team, he put in a bit of a paltry performance to the tune of, was it 117 against West Coast? So since then he's gone 140 and 137 and his price has gone up to 639.6K. So yeah, super happy with that. Zach Merritt, he was my trade-in. Primo on the weekend, 121 against West Coast, started very, very slow, was being crucified by Champion Data, a couple of missed kicks, ineffective disposals, and he was being, those were being counted as clangers and whatnot. There was one really weird passage of play that I tweeted about where he actually went to handball to a player, sorry, to his teammate who was closer to him. It bypassed that player and then landed at the feet of another teammate who then picked it up and should have been, I guess, you know, I guess you classify it as an ineffective disposal if you're saying that he missed the target with the first teammate, but it was actually counted as a clanger, which is incorrect because it didn't result in a turnover to the opposition. So outside of all that, just happy the fact that he ended up salvaging his game and scoring that 121, so it wasn't too bad. The other captaincy option I had was Bontempelli, ended up busting out an even higher score than Sarong even, to the tune of 142. Really, really good. You know, Bont's just Bont, really. So just going about his thing. Sammy Walsh, 91. Very disappointing, but also perplexing as well because I do remember that he finished the game on 99 and was scaled down 8 points to 91. So a bit of a kick in the old teeth there by Champion Data, but is what it is. Tookie Miller, 93. He was on track for a nice score, but just tapered off. I think it didn't help that the Suns got, you know, soundly beaten by the Lions, who were pretty undermanned as well, so that was surprising. But 93 is what it is from Tookie Miller. Jack Steele, 112, turned it around, and Liam and I spoke of the reasons why you should hold him heading into round 8 against North Melbourne, and that matchup was the main reason. So I ended up exploiting that matchup. I think North give away the second or third most points to opposition inside mids, and that obviously is reflected there with Steele's 112. So super happy that we held on to him, and hopefully you heeded our advice and did the exact same. Tom Green, spoke of him, only scored the 5, ended up getting his ankle caught under another player. Looked pretty gruesome, but thankfully was cleared of any major damage as of today. The Giants came out with some news, which is good to see, and he's actually potentially in line to play this coming round in round 9 if he can, I guess, be cleared of any niggles and whatnot and any soreness, and he is listed as a test, so that's good to see. But I am sort of half expecting the Giants to give him a bit of a rest this coming round. Sam Closey, 43, spoke of him. I played him over Graham purely based upon the matchup through DFS Australia. Of course, we always talk about the, you know, I guess exploiting the matchup against the opponent they're playing on that given round, which is what I just referred to with Jack Steele up against North Melbourne. And Brisbane actually were giving away a few points to opposition wingers and dashing defenders, as you can see here on screen if you're watching us on YouTube. They actually give away the third most points to opposition wingers and defenders. So it should have technically boded well for Closey, but didn't quite come to fruition. So that's that. Will Graham, 59. Only, 16 points difference between Graham and Closey. So not too bad, I guess. Jai Clark, spoke of him, 78. And again, he just highlights a reminder for those people, and I spoke about it as to the reasons why I ended up keeping him in my team, which is way back. I think it was about 4 weeks ago, people starting to jump off him. And that was part of the reason is that by cashing him in, you're not actually getting much in return. You know, if you're trading him down to a 117K rookie, you're only really earning yourself, 37, 38K or thereabouts. So it just wasn't worth it. And as I said, it's you're kind of wasting a bit of a trade there, and it's virtually a sideways trade. So for me, the only thing holding him back, and it's obvious now, was the fact that Chris Scott just wasn't giving him an opportunity. And for those games where he was actually given an opportunity, he scored, you know, half decently to suggest that he was going to make cash at some point or another when he was given that opportunity, which came on the weekend, ended up scoring that 78. And yeah, back in round two, scored a 60, round three, 68. So I think if you can hover around about that mark, he should be able to push up towards that, 100K mark. And he's virtually reset his cash generation now because his break even is a very lowly negative one. And as you can see here via Supercoach Plus, they've got him projected for a score of 37 as an example, which if he does score that on the weekend, he'll go up 17.2K. And then the week after, again, if he scores a 37, he'll go up 24.6K, which already is another, 40K. So yeah, he's going to be very, very nice. And I am predicting that he should, pending, given the opportunity, of course, by Chris Scott, and he's not subbed, he should be able to make us over 100K. So he'll be a nice bonus rookie compared to those people that traded him out. Moving on to Kay McAuliffe, he was surprisingly not recalled into the team. I think Sonzi was, who ended up scoring well or playing well on the VFL over the previous weekend, so they were kind of contending for the same spot. And yeah, we'll just have to, I guess, bide our time and wait for him to come back into the team, which no doubt he will at some stage or another, but at least he's giving us an option as well in terms of being a non-playing player, loophole option if we need to take that or if we can, depending on the schedule. Moving into the rucks, and we had Maxi Gawn with a 111. It was almost minimum Gawn at one stage. Didn't look as though he was going to really crack the ton. Kicked a nice goal late in the game and, helped seal the win for the D's against the Cats. Jordan Sweet, 74. It's happy enough with that anyway. I mean, we've got to keep context and things of perspective because we only paid 158K, I think it was, and he's already made us 86.1K in one game. So yeah, in that context, we can't be too annoyed. And again, his break even is heading into around 9, negative 71. So he's going to make us bulk cash. And yeah, I'm happy enough with him at R2. I could have gone for English, but going for English would have meant that I had missed out on Merritt, who has a very, very good schedule coming up in the short term and actually long term as well. So Jordan Sweet faces the Cats on the coming weekend and then Hawthorn and North Melbourne. So hopefully he can make a bit of an opportunity of that and score some nice points for those of us playing him on field. But hopefully he can just make us some nice cash and I'll be able to springboard to Tim English later on across the buys potentially. Hopefully, we'll see what happens. Naismith was a bit of a bonus, kept his spot in the team, scored a 45 and has actually made us 51.2K now. So at least that kind of justifies starting him in our teams ahead of Livingston, who's a non-playing player for West Coast. Some people opted down that route, but yeah, happy enough with Naismith. Hopefully he can keep his spot. Does have a break even now of 11. So hopefully he can have a bit of a spike game, spend a bit more time in the ruck, maybe kick a couple of goals and help really build himself a score. It looks as though at this stage anyway, if he can, he's got a break even 11 as I said, but if he can score a 76 according to Supercoach Plus, he could go up in increments of around about 30 to 40K over the next 4 weeks or so. So that would make us about 130k or thereabouts, 140k. So that'd be very, very juicy and a bit of a bonus, much like Jai Clark that I spoke of. Moving on to the forward line, we have Isaac Heaney with 109, a bit down on production, but we can't be too unhappy considering how well he's treated us across the season to date. 109, that's actually his second lowest score. Every other score has been 120 or above, apart from that 98 that he scored against Gold Coast. So, yeah, is what it is. Sam Flanders, 128. Did pretty well, considering that he was shifted from defence into the forward line at some stage during the game, and ended up scoring quite well. And he's gone from strength to strength, hasn't dipped below the ton thus far in 2024, knock on wood, that continues, of course. He actually faces North Melbourne this coming round, so good matchup, and he is an incredible player. He's actually gone up 90.8k as well. So if you don't have him in your team, try and get this bloke in, because he's a definitive top six forward in an area where it's looking pretty bleak in terms of top scorers. So yeah, you'd want him in your team 100%. Moving on to Luke Jackson now, 86. And a bit of a silver lining here, as it turned out. I think he was on track for around about a score of 70. Ended up being a bit more inflated because, as it turned out, Ho-da-do, a.k.a. Shrek, a.k.a. Sean Darcy, was subbed out of the game due to, I think, what they're calling calf tightness, I think, from memory. Maybe wrong, but I think it is calf tightness. They've said that it isn't anything untoward, but with any injury that is related to Sean Darcy, it's not like any other injury that another player gets or another niggle. This is something that could be ongoing, or it could mean that Frio give him at least a bit of a rest. So off the back of that, it meant Jackson manned a few ruck contests late in the game, and he ended up boosting his score, but it could bode well longer term. And that again is part of the reason, if we're harping back to another team talk episode, as to why I was keeping Luke Jackson on, I spoke of it, it is the fact that Hodor is going to get injured again at some stage or another, and or be rested, considering that he has had so many niggles to date. So Luke Jackson looks like it could be a bit of a, you know, everything's coming up Millhouse for Luke Jackson. Moving on to Harley Reid, only scored a 59, a very, very slow game on return after his week off. Again, perplexing, don't know why the Eagles did it, but anyway, ended up scoring a 59. Hopefully he can turn that around, because I am quietly confident still that he could be a top six forward. Even if he's not down the line, he's going to be more of a luxury upgrade down the line until, I guess, we see the definitive top six forwards that are going to be, the cream that rises to the top virtually. So, yeah, we'll see how things land with that. Now, Darcy Wilson, what an incredible young player. 126, he's someone that is turned into an ever-reliable on-field scorer, especially over the past couple of weeks where he scored an 88 and a 126. He's actually upped his... Supercoach isn't going to bloody... Oh, here we go. So he's upped his minutes. So his first four games of the season were 97, 87, 89, and 86 minutes played. Over his past 4 weeks, that's been upped to 118, 102, 106, and 105. So he's actually built his endurance base, and he's running incredible numbers. I don't have them on screen here, but I do recall he was up there in terms of the amount of kilometers that he was actually covering in the game. So he's incredibly fit, run all day, you know, like a Robert Harvey virtually. Saints fans would be loving that. But yeah, he was incredible. Past couple of weeks, he's eclipsed 20 disposals, and on the weekend was helped with 3 goals, 2 against North, for that score of 126. So off the back of that, that's where him go up another 58.1k. And his break even now is a negative 25. And if he can score an 80 against the Hawks, could get better. It means that he will go up another 48k. And then with another break even of 11 heading into the round 10 game against Frio. So yeah, he's going to be an incredible cash cow for us. Already has made us 202.1k. as a bit of a bonus, and yeah, happy enough with him on field, considering the direness of the options that we have in the forward line in terms of upgrades. And then rounding us out in field here in the forward line is Sam Darcy. Only scored a 49, was pretty low all game until he kicked a nice goal late in the game against the Hawks. Didn't help that the Hawks obviously won, but hopefully he can just keep his spot. That's the main thing, really. We're going to be worried about any Dogs player. But yeah, hopefully Bevo doesn't see red and just, you know, start throwing blokes off the whiteboard. But he has made us now 191k in total, went up 4.3k on the weekend, and he's kind of hit a bit of a wall now with his cash generation. And unless he can have a bit of a spike game, which he has had in previous weeks, like, you know, he's scored 109, 84, 82, 88. So depending on matchup, he could actually score quite well. Faces Richmond this coming round, who, mind you, do they give away a positive? They do. A positive correlation to key forwards and general forwards. For key forwards, they give away the second most points to opposition key forwards, and for general forwards, they give away the second most as well. So hopefully that matchup can bode well for Sam Darcy, and he can, I guess, kickstart his cash generation yet again. So yeah, I wouldn't be too hasty in trading him out as yet, unless he helps springboard to a genuine primo. So yeah, that's pretty much that. Moving across to the bench for the forwards, Hugo Garcia, 56, wasn't subbed or starting sub, which was pleasing to see. So 56, not too bad, went up 34.9k, and his total appreciation in price is 73.8k, so not too bad considering. Hopefully he keeps his spot, and yeah, that'll be very, very nice. His break even now is 13. So 13. So yeah, he could bit of a Hutto impersonation there, but yeah, that'd be great if he can continue on. Albeit, if he had a spike score, that would definitely help us and increase that cash generation a bit quicker. The other Garcia was the other guy I brought in, Riley Garcia. So he went up 64.6k off the back of a score of 66. And I know there was a lot of people weighing up, do they go with Riley Garcia? Do they go with Rogers from Gold Coast? I was a big advocate of Riley Garcia purely because Waitman was out and West as well. So they were down two small forwards, which said to me that at least the job security for Garcia short term was very, very, very good and should have meant that he'd avoid the sub, which is what he did, thankfully. Even though he didn't kick a goal, he's actually was really, really good with his pressure, which is great to see. So has gone up that 64.6K, and his break-even now is a negative 22. I might have a look at what Rogers is in a moment, but if he can score a 47, which he's been able to eclipse every single game to date, he will go up another 31.7K, which will put him 95K in appreciation in total. And over the next two, if he can score a 47, he'll go up, in total, 46K, which will mean that he's will go up around 110K in total, and it'd be a nice little cash cow over the next couple of weeks to springboard and fund other upgrades. So that's good to see. Let's have just a quick look at Rogers. So that's our team virtually in totality. So Rogers went up 28.6K, but has a break even, negative 18, faces North Melbourne. So for those people that jumped on Rogers, hopefully he can keep his spot. Has a nice little matchup against North, and if he can do so, that'd be good to see. But albeit, and this is part of the reason why I wasn't big on Rogers, and I spoke about it, was the fact that he was only able to score a 28 in his first game in full minutes, wasn't subbed. So that game against West Coast was a little bit of an outlier to me, where he scored that 98. And again, only scored the 21 on the weekend against the Lions. So very much in line with that 28 that he scored first up. So hopefully for those people that do have him, he does keep his spot and can eke out a little bit of a score against North Melbourne. But after this game against North Melbourne, that 98 is going to drop out of his three-round, scoring cycle because it does go in threes. So yeah, once that happens, his break-even is going to rise quite rapidly. So yeah, all the best to those people that do have Rogers, but hopefully you took my advice and ended up going with Riley Garcia. Albeit it is Bevo though as well, so we can't trust him. But with that,
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Let's have just a quick look as well. I spoke of it there in terms of the trades that I did, but to give you a bit more context, what I ended up doing was, so I went Cadman down to Sweet with some DPP and shifted Jacko into the forward line. Then I went Powell to Garcia, which then funded the trade or upgrade of Sharp to Zachariah Merritt. So that is pretty much that. In terms of my ranking history, so I've kind of held rank. I lost rank between rounds 5 and 6. So I went from ranked 2.2k to 4k, and then round 7 ended up losing 400 spots to be ranked 4.4k, and now I've gone back down to that 2.9k, so hopefully can continue pushing and can go into the top 2k proper after this coming round. And I guess we have arrested that fall, and if we can continue to climb the ranks, that would be absolutely fantastic. And as you can see there, my team value went up around about, 180k or thereabouts. That was also good to see. So from here on, let's just roll through my trades. So what I was looking to do, and I spoke of it last week as well, the four guys that I've been aiming to get into my team have been Merritt, who I ended up getting into my team this week, or on the weekend rather, Zach Butters, Luke Ryan, and Tim English. Those are the main candidates. So last week you'll see that I actually made my last boost, and that helped me get in Merritt, but it also helped me partially fund the upgrade I'm going to make this week, which is what I'm always trying to highlight, is try and build a bank for the following week so you're not having to rely on that single downgrade, especially when you're running a boost. As you can see here, there's a prime example. I've only got two trades to use, so I can only go one downgrade and one upgrade, which normally, if you don't have any money in the bank, you're not really going to have enough money from the downgrade to the rookie in order to then use an upgrade with that second trade on the given week. So the 173.4k that I do have in the bank from last week that's left over will be able to be put on top of the money that I'm generating via the one downgrade, to then combined put on top of the second trade to then bring in that genuine primo. So as I said, Butters was my next candidate. He ended up scoring quite well, but not well enough, because his break-even is a 148 and does mean that there's potential there for him to lose a bit more money. Scored a 124, and I thought he was pretty, you know, looked after, pretty well looked after by Champion Data, considering that he scored as well as he did early on, because he was thereabouts, but he didn't hit his straps until the second half. Anyway, he scored a 124. And if he scores a 130 this coming round against Geelong, he'll go down 8k and have a chance of then going up in price the week after against Hawthorn and North Melbourne. So considering that and that high break even, it means that I can hold off another week. I wasn't going to, but the other guy that I am eyeing off, of course, and I spoke of him, the Seagull in Luke Ryan, just incredible. I talk about Kissed on the Dick action, and with Luke Ryan, it was gluck 4,000. Like Champion Data, they were on their knees. They had knee pads on. They were applying the lipstick. you fill in the gaps. So like Luke Ryan, there were so many easy marks, kick to kick, chipping, switching plays, all that sort of stuff, and it was just ridiculous. Like if you look at the scoring and watch the game, you would have said Sarong and Young were by far and away the best players, but Luke Ryan ended up outscoring them to the tune of 197, which is utterly ridiculous. And he's virtually a cheat code. That's all I can say, is he's virtually a cheat code. His disposal efficiency was really, really high, which is obviously good for scoring, but part of that reason was he was kicking sideways. He wasn't getting any meterage. And when he was actually getting meterage, he was kicking and bombing 40 plus meters to get that meterage. And even though he's kicking to contest, because he's kicking over 40 meters, it doesn't matter if it doesn't result in a Freo teammate marking it. It's still rated as an effective kick. So all these reasons, and obviously intercept marks and stuff, which is really good, of course, takes a lot of skill. But if you watch the game, he was the last man in defense, like last line of defense, virtually not playing on any defender. We think of James Sicily. He's a classic example in recent years where, you know, you're getting easy points. And this is virtually what Luke Ryan's doing this year. He's taking his game up to another level, and he is a must have. His break even on the weekend, I think, was something ridiculous, like a 150 odd or thereabouts. Obviously smashed that. He was supposed to go down in price, hence the reason why I didn't get him last week. Opted for Merritt instead. But because of his score of 197, he's actually gone up 15.8K, and he's actually up overall 32.4K on his starting price. So super frustrating. Break even now is a 64, faces Sydney, and unless someone's going to play a player on him, he's going to continue to score ridiculously. So Sydney are actually rather restrictive to opposition defenders, but this guy's immune to it, really. And then, of course, he faces St Kilda, who, as we know, give away bulk points to opposition mids by far and away the most in the competition. So, yeah, he's just incredible, really. He's undone most of the money that he lost over the previous couple of weeks, and he's actually up to the same price he was at in rounds 3 and 4. When he had his first price rise. So he's only in 14.5% of teams. I expect that to climb. A lot of people probably will be reaching for him. As I always talk about, people see a player have a high score and they think, I must get him into my team. It's just the psychology of it. If you're not in the position to bring in Ryan, like me, who you've got money in the bank and you're not really tearing apart your team or trading out keepers in order to get Ryan in your team, don't stress. Don't go for him now. That's the thing. Like, there's other guys that, you know, Hayden Young, there's Stewart, there's Fallen Primos, Petrarca, Oliver, all these guys as well that are at a cheaper price point, and there's no reason for you to fork out extra money in order to reach for these players. Spoke of it in previous weeks where people reach for Sarong. Excuse me. You reach for Sarong when he went up 36.7K in round 3. And then, of course, inevitably, he put in one low score of a sub 100, and he ended up toppling down to 613. So for those people that jumped on him, and that was 13% of the competition, it meant that they had forked out an extra 40K more than what they needed to, and I got him at the discount. So again, that's part of the reason. I mean, yes, he's had a high score, Ryan, but what it does mean is that it's so much harder for him to keep himself at this higher price point. If he has even just a substandard, you know, 115 game a couple of weeks in a row, his score is going to topple down. So just keep that in mind as well. I might actually just have a quick look at his Supercoach Plus and see if there's a bit of a demonstration here. It's a bit hard because Supercoach Plus have him projected for scoring 139 and 144 and going up 70K. And they have him actually reaching a 721.9K price tag, which would be absolutely ridiculous, would be surpassing Maxi Gorn, who's 713.6K. So, yeah, for those people, as I said, don't be trading out keepers in order to try and get Ryan in your team. It's a sideways trade. It's going to really shoot yourself in the foot. So, having said all that, As I said, I've got money in the bank. So the two guys that I'm looking to trade out are Williams and Roberts. If I just have a look at the quick break evens of all the cash cows that I have, Graham's got a break even of 12, bit more money to make. Closey's bit higher, 58, but faces North Melbourne as well as Graham, obviously, for the Suns. Hopefully has a week or two left in cash generation that I'll look to use one of those guys, you know, probably Closey first up, as a bit of a springboard to a genuine primo. So in this case here, there really aren't, I mean, there's Sam Darcy, break even 42, but as I said, faces Richmond. They give away, what is it, the most points, as I said. Oh, sorry, second most points to opposition key forwards. Should be a spike game there, you'd expect, hopefully, all things considered. So outside of that, we have Matt Roberts with a break-even of 107, projected to lose 10k if he scores an 85. Done his job for us, and likewise, Zach Williams with a break-even of 47. Again, done his job for us, and probably in all likelihood won't play this coming round due to injury. So we're going to put the put these guys on the chopping block. And what we're looking to do is obviously use one of my trades as a downgrade to help fund the upgrade to Luke Ryan. So what we're going to be doing is trading in Darcy Jones. So Darcy Jones for the Giants is someone that looks like almost a must-have, has scored well, scored a 75 and a 70, but he is a forward only. So it does mean I'm going to have to use some DPP switches here. So what I'm going to have to do is swing one of Graham or Closey into defense. So I'll use that with Closey. And now I'll need to swing a forward into the midfield. That will be Garcia, which has its benefits as well anyway, because it does activate a forward mid swing, DPP swing that I didn't have activated. And a bit more likewise as well with the defensive midfielder swing with Closey back there. Means I have a couple of options there with Dacos, Martin and Closey. And then of course Graham as that defender midfielder as well to activate that swing. So now with those DPP swings, obviously put Closey back into defense, Garcia from the forward line into the midfield, I can now bring in Darcy Jones. So let's have a quick squeeze here. We'll just narrow this down to cash cows in Supercoach Plus. And you can see that here. So Darcy Jones, 123.9K, has a break even of negative 75. So going to be someone that is very, very valuable. Looks like he belongs at senior level as well. He does look like a kid, but with that helmet that he has on, just crashing packs, and it reminds me so much of a young Josh Kelly. So incredible player and someone I'm excited to have in my team and potentially even play on field. It's just a bit of a shame he's a forward only. Would be nice to have him in the midfield, and I could play him in lieu of Tom Green if he does rest, or, you know, a Garcia or a Graham, who I'm probably going to have to choose between, or a Jai Clark. So anyway, Darcy Jones comes in to my side. And then I am left with 791.1K. Obviously, well and truly enough bank to bring in Lukey Ryan, the Seagull. Let's just move back to defense. And here we go. So the bonus of this as well is, I spoke of this, is the trade cadence. And by trading, you know, the higher priced cash cow in Roberts down to Jones and then Williams as a bit of a springboard to Luke Ryan or vice versa, it does mean that I do have, again, leftover cash. Despite not having the boost from here on out, I don't need them because I'm in that trade cadence now where I have bank left over from these trades to then go into next week. Happened last week when I brought in Merritt and I had 140 odd K in the bank. This is what's going to happen yet again heading into next week. And it does mean that with another downgrade, I'm going to be able to trade up to, in this case here, play all things, hopefully the plans come to fruition. I'll be able to bring in Zach Butters next week. So it would mean that I've brought in, over the past few weeks, Sam Walsh, Merritt, and Luke Ryan, and then Zach Butters, which sounds insane, but that's just the way that I've planned. And part of the reason why I was so, so heavy on bringing in these cash cows, and those big cash cows and Sharp, Dempsey, sticking with Zach Williams early on, because it does mean you've laid the groundwork leading up to this point where I'm now in that trade cadence, downgrade, upgrade every single week leading into the buys. So that's where we're at here. Obviously bring in Luke Ryan. Let's complete this trade. I'm so thankful I've got this bloody seagull in Luke Ryan in my team now. And what it does mean as well is it completes my defense, which is incredible. I say complete with an asterisk, though, because as I said, Wangan and Miller will probably, in all likelihood, at some stage later in the season, not now, and probably won't be until one of the last trades that I make after I've upgraded my team, I will be using a bit of a luxury upgrade or a sideways trade on Wangan and Miller to someone like a Hayden Young, which is silly enough to say because I ended up trading out Hayden Young to that man, Wangan and Miller. So it's going to be a in-out, in-out. So yeah, is what it is. Which is my favourite saying, of course. But yeah, it looks like it's got me in a nice spot here. And that was probably one of the things I was trying to do from last year into this year, is I found that defence was so hard to fill, and I wasn't really paying too much attention to it. I was concentrating so much on the midfield. Last year, we were flush with options in the forward line, so it meant that I was kind of neglecting the defence, and to my detriment as well. And there were a lot of holes in defense for me that I've found a lot of trouble filling in 2023, but now I'm absolutely stoked to be in this good position at the moment. Knock on wood, things continue well for me, but yeah, it's nice to see that I don't have to worry about playing someone like a Closey or a Graham in defense, albeit I'll probably have to play one of those guys in the midfield at M8 for the time being until I bring Butters in next week. So it's worked out well as well, because of the fact that, yeah, as I say, I'll only have to play the rookie in M8 this week, and then hopefully things pan out like I hope them to, and I'll bring in Butters next week. And after that, I'll virtually be gunning to try and get English into my team, but I'll just have to be patient, obviously, because it's really contingent upon Jordan Sweet's rate of cash generation in order to, I guess, yeah, it kind of dictates as to when I bring English in, because he's going to be my ticket to getting English. Once that happens, and I'm kind of forecasting forward here, obviously, I'll be prioritizing getting in guys in F5 and F6, which at the moment my forward line is, you know, Heaney, Flanders, Jackson, and Reed. Reed, I don't know. Hopefully he can be a keeper, but we'll have to wait and see. But Wilson and Darcy in, obviously, F5 and F6. We don't want to be relying upon them from week to week, especially Darcy. Wilson has been in good form in recent times. Hopefully that continues. But yeah, ideally we want to be at a stage where hopefully once we've got Butters and English into our team, those will kind of be the order of bringing those guys in. Hopefully by then, which probably will be leading into the buys, that will be at a spot where we'll need to be working out, okay, who's going to be the top six forwards? So yeah, and from there, I think we'll probably prioritize the guys that we need to. And we saw on the weekend, off the back of who was it? It was Moore from the Hawks. Dylan Moore is at 521k now, and he had a very, very nice score, which was, let me just pull it up here, 140. And his past 3 weeks, he's gone 116, 136, and 140. Showed flashes of brilliance last year from memory, and you know, there were people thinking about him potentially being a top six forward. And, you know, off the back of mainly him playing through the middle. Hasn't really been playing through the middle this season from memory, but he's kicking shanks and he's moving up the ground and doing a lot of work outside the forward 50 as well, which is good to see. So let's just have a quick look at CBAs for Hawthorn. And I don't think he's had many from memory, but could be wrong. Let me have a quick squeeze. So Dylan Moore, he's been thereabouts. So he's actually averaging 15% CBAs for the season, which is around about half of what... Oh, no, actually it was... Oh, no, I stand corrected. 15. So he had 16% CBAs, Dylan Moore, in 2022 when he was averaging his career high of 94.6. At the moment, he's averaging a 94.1 with 15% CBA. So it does mirror his 2022 season very, very closely. And that season as well, he ended up having 900 plus scores and 320 plus scores. And already in, you know, 8 games, he's had 400 plus scores. So already half that mark that he had in 2022. And 220 plus scores. So, you know, he's 2/3 of the way there in terms of the amount of 120 plus scores that he had in 2022. So he is another guy that's on my radar. And I'll talk about bringing in guys that, whilst you can get them at a cheaper price, he's actually above his starting price now of 13K. So if you ended up bringing him in, you know, after the North Melbourne game in round 6 when he scored that 116, you'd be absolutely laughing to the bank because he's now up 90K on what he was priced at then. Albeit, keep in mind, his ownership at the moment is 1.4%. So he is an Uber pod. So yeah, if you're going for someone as a bit of a point of difference as well, he is someone that I'd be keen to jump on. But yeah, I'll keep him in mind. And off the back of that, let's add him to my watch list. So he's definitely one player I think has the credentials to finish as a top 6 forward. So outside of those guys that I've got, I'd be keen to look at Dylan Moore very, very closely. With that, let's do a little bit of a segue to my watch list, as always, and get rid of a few guys off the list that I was looking at. And chat about ever so briefly guys that I would have been keen to put in my team. So Clary Oliver turned around his form on the weekend, scored a Clary-like score that we're all familiar with 141. Looks to have, I guess, improved his fitness, picking up the ball nicely, and then faces my mob on the weekend with a score. He's past 3 against Carlton, 140, 126 and 128. So has the history there to continue on his nice scoring that he kind of kick-started against the Cats in round 8, just gone. But after that, then faces West Coast as well. So is at his lowest price. He's only 10K up on his lowest price, which was in round 7. And at a price of 476.7K, he's actually still 197.4K below his starting price. So he is an absolute bargain. And I'd be very, very keen actually to even maybe get him in my team sooner than what I wanted, with the view of potentially having him on the bench. Because when you think about it in terms of his price at the moment, 476, that was, that's virtually in line with what Wangan and Miller is priced at the moment. But also, you know, he's 76K more than, or thereabouts, than what Roberts is. So that's just incredible to think about, who Roberts, you know, we've been playing on field, but, you know, could have benched him at various stages and could have done so on the weekend. So to have someone like a Clary Oliver potentially being an M9 could be the ace up the sleeve. So imagine having a loophole option and then playing Clary Oliver off the bench, you know, if Melbourne play early in the round, and then being able to loop his score on would be an absolute blessing and an absolute bonus. So that is something I am looking at in coming weeks, but I have to stick to the plan. Obviously, Butters comes first, unless Butters has another down game and I could hold off potentially another couple of weeks. And then I'd probably grab Clary over Butters and then look to get Butters in once he's bottomed out. So, yeah, Oliver has a break-even now of 48. And you'll probably go up closer to that 500K mark now. But for me anyway, I've always said that before I was, you know, even going to consider getting Clary in my team, the big pink sweaty pig, as we call him here at Supercoach Edge, I would like to see two nice back-to-back scores, which has only had the one so far. I just want to make sure that it's not a flash in the pan. Still is having the low time on ground, 89, 87, 96, 91, 98. So it hasn't really eclipsed, which he did in round 1 against Sydney. He eclipsed the 100-minute mark with 108, but I just want to make sure the fitness is tip-top. And yeah, from there, if the form follows, then that is a tick-tick and almost says to me, green light, get him in your team. So yeah, looking at him very closely, Jordan Dawson, I've always said he's not a top eight midfielder, and that was justified on the weekend. I think he was very lucky to score 94 when he did. started very slowly, got a lot of scaling points and whatnot, but that's that. LDU, I don't think he's going to be a top eight mid, but I'll keep these guys on my watch list just in case later in the season. Tim English, he went up 21.4K, virtually back to his almost, he's still 102.4K below his starting price, so, and has a break even of 80 going to this weekend. Yeah, hopefully he can continue having a couple of down games here and there. Apologies to existing owners, but would seriously help me because I'm virtually just waiting for Sweet, as I said, to appreciate in price before I'm able to jump on English and make the most of it. Christian Petrarca went down another 42.3K and is an absolute bargain. Could be around about that same price as what Clary is next week. His break-even now is at 127, so actually not too high. Could arrest that that price drop this coming round against the Baggers. But yeah, for me, his scores just haven't been hitting the mark, and I don't think he's going to be a top eight mid. Probably will, if he can, turn around his form, push towards it, but yeah, not for me. Errol Goulden's there, James Sicily, no. Brayshaw, no. Zach Merritt's in my team, so I can take him out of my watch list. Luke Ryan's in my team, I can take him out of my watch list. Rory Laird's not going to be a top eight mid, I don't think. Dan Huster scored a 93, should be dropping in price. Hayden Young, I think, should be a top six defender and an absolute bargain off the back of a score of 130. And yeah, he's really kicked dust in my face after me trading him out early on. He's scoring well enough, and he's only 10K above his starting price, so an absolute bargain for those people looking at him. Dane Zorko, I'll be waiting for him, waiting for his body to break down, much like Yeo and Fife, inevitably, of course. Shea Bolton went down 40.2K, and yeah, Liam and I speak about this bloke so often and how often he yo-yos. You're going to pick him up at a cheaper price point, even cheaper than what he is now. And if he scores 103 this coming round, he's going to drop 41.6K. And then potentially another 20K the week after. So you could get him potentially around about 460 on, and would be a bit of a bargain. But even then, I don't think I'd want him in my team. Jack McRae, 81, will be thereabouts, but yeah, no. Liam Baker only scored a 60, so that's a bit of a concerning one for those people that were thinking about him being a top six forward. And Dylan Moore, who I think's kind of, out of all the guys we've spoken about in the forward line here, apart from Zorko, yeah, he's probably more of a consolidated option for prospective top forwards to aim for. And I discount Zorko as well because I think, as I said, just with his body previous seasons, I don't trust him. But he probably should be a top six forward if he can stay fit, that's for sure. So that's pretty much it, ladies and gents. Let's just have a quick look through my team and we'll round out the chat with VCNC options. For me, I'd be looking at, I've done a few notes here in prep for our episode coming up this week for the captaincy, for the I am the captain now. And of course, Bont, I think, speaks for itself, faces Richmond, has scored well against the Tigs in the past as well, which is always a bonus. Scored 136, 122, and 153 in his previous three against the Tigs. And they give up a few points to opposition mids as well from memory. Let me just have a quick look at DFS Australia. And in their last five, they give away... yes, they actually give away more than what they have in previous weeks now off the back of the weekend. So they're actually giving away the second most points to inside mids, the Tigs. So yeah, the Dogs mids, especially Bont, he's going to have an absolute field day. The other thing is Bont actually has the best average against the Dogs of any other opposition team. So 127.6 in 10 games. So yeah, 127.6. We'd be lock and loading that as a VC score every single day of the week. So he is my VC at the moment. And then in terms of captaincy, I think for me, I'll probably go with Dacos back in form facing West Coast. And he scored in his previous games against them quite well as well, 125 and 123 at Marvel as well. So yeah, he is someone that I'd have the confidence in playing. Outside of that, and your recruit, Luke Ryan, could we go with him? Yeah, Sydney are usually restrictive to opposition defenders. Yes, they are a bit, so yeah, probably not. Nick Martin against the Giants, maybe. Yeah. Merritt against the Giants, no. Sarong against Sydney mids, not really. And then Gawn against my mob in Carlton. He's another option as well early on, especially if you're looking for an early VC option. Flanders against North Melbourne. Took Miller potentially as well. Isaac Heaney to a lesser extent against Frio. But yeah, I'm going to stick with Bond as my VC and Nicky Dacos, Wispy Dacos, as my captain for now. Let's have a quick look at on the bench. And in terms of loophole options, if McAuliffe isn't selected this round, I'll be able to use him. Oh, no, I won't. Of course, the Gold Coast North game is starting at the exact same time as Richmond and the Dogs. Thank you, AFL, for your ridiculous scheduling. I won't be able to loophole here. I'll think I'll probably roll with Graham on field. I could go with Geelong against Port at GMHBA Stadium with Clark, but I think I'll back in Graham against North Melbourne. Given that North Melbourne they've got a positive correlation to opposition inside mids to the tune of, what's that, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think that they give away the fifth most points to opposition mids, so that bodes well for Will Graham. And then for the forward line, I think we'll stick with Wilson and Darcy as well, especially Wilson, of course, being in sublime form for the youngster. And we're expecting a bit of a spike game for Sam Darcy against the Tigs, because as I said a couple of times already, that the Tigs give away the second most points to opposition forwards. And that's pretty much that, ladies and gents. Thanks again for tuning in. Really do appreciate your viewership if you're watching us here on YouTube, but also your listenership if you are listening to us via the audio podcast. As I said, if you are watching us on YouTube and you haven't subscribed yet, please consider doing so. That would be absolutely fantastic. That's all we ask for, really. We've had legends in the past, like I think it was last week. We had one of our regulars in, his username is I Don't Really Like Cheese. He actually gave us a super thanks through YouTube, which was throwing us his hard-earned pocket money at us like we're strippers on a pole, which we'll happily take, and take our clothes off if you want us to, but I wouldn't recommend it. But outside of that, you know, all we ask for really is, if you can give us a subscribe on YouTube, or if you're listening to us via audio podcast, if you can give us a rating on Spotify or Apple iTunes, that would be absolutely fantastic, because it helps, I guess, bump us up in the exposure side of things when it comes to the search engine optimization, as they call it, the SEO, for the podcast, but also on YouTube as well. So that does help in terms of the subscribership there. I think I've just made up a word. Anyway, ladies and gents, thanks again for tuning in. Let us know how you went on the weekend just gone. And let us know your thoughts as well in terms of my trades and my, my plans over the next few weeks as I've rolled through. And if you have any questions and comments, of course, as well, as always, put them down below in the comment section here on YouTube, or you can alternatively hit us up if you're listening to us, of course, on Twitter, and make sure to jump into our Discord as well. It is our thriving community, and we couldn't be more pleased and proud of the community that we are building on our Discord. Some super helpful people and knowledgeable people in our Discord from the Supercoach Edge community that are willing to help out other people. So if you have any comments and questions that we can't get to ourselves, jump into the Discord, and everyone else is, you know, there to help you out as well, which is what we're super proud of. So with that, ladies and gents, thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next one. We'll see you then. Cheers.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The secret to visibly firmer, summer-ready skin is here. Osea's number one best-selling Andaria Algae Body Oil. Clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity and transform dull, dry skin to silky, soft, and unbelievably glowing. Rich yet never greasy, Andaria Algae Body Oil is formulated with sustainably sourced seaweed to help replenish the skin's moisture barrier and seven nourishing active botanical oils for results you can see and feel all over. The best part? Its signature scent. A blend of freshly squeezed grapefruit, cypress, and mango mandarin transports you to sun-kissed summer days. This all-natural scent is unforgettable. Everything Osea makes is clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Get healthy, glowing skin for summer with clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OSEAMalibu.com, code GLOW.
AdWanted UK is the provider of single-source media data for agencies, media owners, brands, and academic institutions. And thanks to our rebranded news offering, called The Media Leader, we can also lead the way in championing excellence and inclusion in the media industry. To find out more, simply visit the-media-leader.com. to subscribe to our daily bulletins. The Media Leader from AdWanted UK.